Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Now, I had actually been wondering, what happened to Hannibal Buress? He'd been laying low. For a while, Hannibal was in the news all the time, and then we hadn't heard from him. He hadn't been showing up at festivals. So what's he been doing? Music. This from American songwriter. Hannibal Buress is back at the grind. This time, though, instead of working on new stand-up material, he's got his debut EP. It's called Eschew Tune, and he's using that as his stage name as a musical artist. The 8-song album features both his production work and beat making, as well as his sly, skillful rapping. I played one of the songs that was embedded in the article. Honestly, it's pretty catchy. Hannibal said, I could coast to do stand-up and clock much more than I'm clocking right now per week, but I don't know if I'd be as happy and inspired through that, because I've done that already. I've got 5 specials already, and I'm happy and proud of them, but I feel like there's more. I'm not saying I'm never going to do stand-up, but I bet in 3 years my stand-up special is going to be way more interesting if I'm talking about how I've been pursuing rap for 3 years, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at it like, all right, if I'm really working at these other aspects of the game and I'm locked in, then when I'm 50, my concerts are going to be effing insane. How old is Hannibal now? Google tells me Hannibal is 39, born February 4th, 1983. Hannibal has begun to book big shows, reaching out to promoters and working on sets for upcoming concerts. He calls himself a hungry musician who's willing to take discounts to perform his songs, though if you want some stand-up, I'm taxing your ass. He remembers going to open mics. He remembers being around rappers, musicians, beat makers. He remembers battle rapping against lyricists, including Chicago legend Open Mike Eagle. As his stand-up career grew, he had visions of creating sets around the idea of what vexed him in the world of hip-hop, why certain lyrics didn't make sense, why some rap videos included a to-be-continued, but were never resolved. He even talked about putting out an EP with fellow comedian Eric Andre, but nothing materialized, despite his 2020 song Judge Judy. Not familiar with that one. You'll find that on YouTube. Hannibal said, the time was absolutely there, but I was doing other BS like gambling or partying. With my extra time, I really wasn't using it properly. Then there was COVID, so not much to do. In that time, the studio experience was still dope. The feel of creating music in that room, once you get in a room, the outside's kind of gone, you know what I mean? So I was able to lock in and start recording about November 2020. I spent that time learning how to record. On the new EP, Hannibal Buress raps about teeth, bowling, drinking, and much more. The EP is fun, but it's not Adam Sandler singing about Thanksgiving and lunch ladies. It's authentic songwriting, not comedy music. He's begun to reach out to contacts to see if songs would work for, say, the Professional Bowlers Association. He even found himself in a bottle service dance club in New York, randomly airdropping his songs to whoever would accept the file. One of the folks was a DJ in the club who played the track. Next up, he wants to set up some shows in some of his key cities that have a lot of Hannibal fans, New York, Atlanta, Chicago, LA. He's got his eyes on a mid-July festival gig in Chicago that could include some 20,000 people in attendance. That's the Silver Room Block Party. Hannibal says, I'm learning. It doesn't have to be rushed. I don't have to press the gas on it. The catchy song, and this is the one that I listen to, it's called Veneers. Hannibal says, people just rock with that one right away. Ron White was on a podcast called The Originals. He talked about giving up drinking. Ron White quit drinking cold turkey after consulting a Santa Monica hypnotist and doing a series of shaman-led trips while at Costa Rica's Life Advancement Center. He had a not uncommon but unpleasant reaction to drinking the psychoactive brew, Ron said. Most people are throwing up in the buckets, but if you're really unlucky, you get the poops. So you actually have to get out of the bed you're on and go to the bathroom instead of puking in a bucket. So I never thought I'd see a room full of people puking in a bucket and go, ooh, lucky. He takes responsibility for his divorce from Margot Ray. The bottom line is that she was living with a drunk. That can't be fun for anybody. I think that was probably more than anything else the source of the trouble. My drinking was so out of hand. Part of Ron's act is that he drinks on stage. Don't tell anybody. It's no longer alcohol in the glass. Ron says, I don't take a slug out of the bottle. I drink out of a glass, but it's not tequila. The reason is I quit drinking. I didn't quit selling tequila. I probably should address it on stage. I don't have time to get into it. I'm winding this career down at the end of the year, so maybe I will, maybe I won't. I forgot. Yeah, he's retiring at the end of the year. Engvall's retiring. We're all getting old. Everyone's retiring. He was, of course, asked about the slap. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I hit back and then I pay somebody to hit too, so be ready. Will Smith turned himself into a joke. If I go on stage and I want to pick on some low-hanging fruit, I could have just said Will Smith and everybody would have laughed. So he's a meme and a punchline. It doesn't matter what else he's done in his career. When you say the words Will Smith, nobody thinks about anything but that slap and the ridiculous thing that he said and how they didn't know Will Smith like they thought they did. I considered it to be a character reveal party. My question for him would be, who the F do you think you are? Because I'd like to know. From Cleveland.com, Mark Maron, 13 years into podcasting. Maron said, it's surprising that we've held on to the audience. We were there at the beginning and probably inspired a lot of people to get involved with this thing. Now it's lost its uniqueness as a medium. The joke used to be, what's a podcast? And now it's, do you have a podcast? So we lived through all that and we still sort of have a good rating, a good number. Nothing has wavered that much. We're kind of set up to continue to have a successful run at that thing. Tallahassee.com caught up with Chris Gethard, who says, I still base my comedy out of New York City, even though I live in Jersey now. So one of the things I love is that I can come up with a new piece of material. I can try it out on stage in some artsy room in Brooklyn and see what the artsy people think of it. Then I can jump over to the Comedy Cellar, where you have to have punchlines above everything else to survive, and see what they think of it. I can go to some other clubs that are full of tourists from England and Germany and people who might not get all the cultural references. I can bring it on the road and then do it for college kids and punk rockers. Mike Birbiglia was asked, what's tougher to deal with, a hostile audience or one that gives no response at all? Birbigs said, it's a great question because that's a really good distinction. A hostile audience you can write off. An indifferent audience hurts your soul. A hostile audience has decided you'll fail before you've even failed. Whereas an indifferent audience that can't muster a laugh is giving you a chance to succeed or fail, and you're failing. Indifference is a more earnest response. As a result, the earnestness is more painful. Julia Louis-Dreyfus will host a fundraiser for the National Resources Defense Council. This will be in Hollywood June 7th. This fundraiser will also feature Chelsea Handler, Leslie Jones, Nick Kroll, Tig Notaro, and Patton Oswalt. That's a lot of people. In a statement, Louis-Dreyfus said, our future's on the line. We need all hands on deck to push Congress to take historic action on climate and environmental justice. I support the incredible work that the NRDC is doing to protect people, our planet, and our future. Together, we can fight the climate crisis. Screen Rant has a date for Neil Patrick Harris's new Netflix comedy show. This is cool. It's called Uncoupled. In Uncoupled, Neil Patrick Harris plays Michael, who fantasizes about smashing a bouquet of roses in a fit of rage. As images of his recent split, Nights Out, and future dating life flash across the screen, Uncoupled, Netflix, 8 episodes, July 29th. There's a new episode of my casual travel podcast. It's called Travel Is Back. This week, I'm at Zion National Park in Utah, which is gorgeous. Check that out. Travel Is Back, wherever you get your shows. Colin Mockery and Asad Mechi. They're touring together, merging hypnotism with improv. Sure, why not? At the beginning of the show, Mechi, who is a master hypnotist, calls on volunteers from the audience to participate. He brings about 20 on stage. Some people are more susceptible to hypnosis than others, says the Greenville Sun. Mechi looks closely at each volunteer during the hypnosis process to check for signs they're going to be good subjects. Those signs, changes in breathing and skin color, a muted voice, a mask-like facial expression, they begin to look like really good poker players, he says. If you don't show those signs, back to the audience you go. Colin Mockery said, with Hiprov, I like it, we have different games that we have for each night. There's one in which Asad suggests to them that they're madly in love with me, so that's always a lovely little heartwarming scene to get the show started. Mockery also participates in a singing duet with the volunteers. The volunteer has been hypnotized to believe that they are the greatest singer to have ever lived. Colin said, we're constantly figuring out what games we can do. We found out over the time we're doing the show, we can actually get people to do more than we thought. They really become pure improvisers and just react to everything that Asad and I say. So we're trying to find ways to challenge them a little more and make the show even more fun. The difference between this show and the stuff he's done in the past is, I don't know the participants, I've just met them. Usually when you're improvising with people, it's with people you know, so it's been really interesting for me to build up an instant trust with these people, see where it goes. When I'm working with the Who's Line guys, you know, we've been doing it a long time, so even if I don't know where they're going to go exactly in a scene, I have a good idea. With these people, I have no idea. It's truly improvising with them and living in the moment, hoping it all works out. So far, it's been amazing. I have to admit, it shocks me that it works out as well as it does. And the official trailer for Joe Coy's Easter Sunday has arrived. It's a film. It's Joe Coy's love letter to the Filipino-American community. It'll be out August 5th. Easter Sunday features Jimmy O. Yang, who I've been into lately, Tia Carrera, Tiffany Haddish, Lou Diamond Phillips, and some others. Joe Coy's Easter Sunday, August 5th. And if you're in Dubai, don't forget, Russell Peters doing a DJ set tonight. Also, Joe Coy is at the Dubai Comedy Festival. Should have given you more warning. Oh, well, you weren't going anyway. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.